Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Unexpected day off, which actually had nothing to do with Dan or I's fault. We're back for the Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. He's Dan the Man. Now, if you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, since it is Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out when you get the chance. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you can hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at
Dan the Man, the three E's.
So, all right, you know, I don't even really, it's been one of those days. I have to catch up with what's going on in sports besides college basketball. So what's going on, Dan?
Paul DeJong was signed to a contract with the Cardinals.
That was fun. We talked about that 2 days ago.
Yeah, I know. I've been a little out of it lately. It's Wednesday, correct? And I didn't get a chance to read your blog yet. So what did you talk about?
The usual stuff. Who got tagged in the NFL, and then the Bulls being warned about tanking.
Yeah, I remember you bringing that up yesterday. I thought that was kind of interesting that Drew Holiday and Lopez make that big of a difference.
Yeah, well, you know, sadly, I don't think they do. I just think the Bulls made the mistake of making it blatantly obvious they were trying to lose games. And they kind of got caught because, you know, I mean, I understand if you sit the guy out. I mean, we see it all the time. A guy sits out a day for rest or, you know, one of those fun things like LeBron does or the Spurs do with their guys. You know, Lopez has been out for six straight games and Holiday's been out for five of the last six. And while, you know, it's not that big of a deal and they still may have lost those games, they're, you know, healthy players who should be on the court. There's no reason to be sitting them. You know, it's not like they're the two worst players on the team. Otherwise, you could kind of defend it. But
yeah, I mean, it's with the way the games have been starting with the early starts at 6 o'clock. By the time I get home and, you know, dinner's done with and turn it on, they've been at least 15 to 20 points down. So it hasn't been enticing to continue to watch through the second half.
Yeah, no, you know, like I turned on the Celtics game, whenever that was, maybe it was last Friday or Saturday or something like that, to check the score, and they were down 51 to 26, so I didn't even bother to turn it back on. You know, that was enough. You know, I think they've lost, they're 1-5 since the All-Star break, and I believe they've lost 7 out of their last 10 by an average of 16 points or more. So it's one of those things where it's a clear indication they're tanking. And, you know, the term they used was, you know, after the All-Star break, Coach Fred Hoiberg decided to prioritize minutes for the younger players, which is the NBA's way of saying, hey, we couldn't trade these veteran guys. We're not going to play them. We're going to put our worst team out there and try to lose. So.
But, I mean, that's a philosophy that the NBA, not the NBA as a whole, but teams have gone by. And while you can Yeah, well, I told them. I don't really know what you could do to fix that.
Yeah, what I couldn't figure out is where was the NBA, you know, like past 4 or 5 years or whatever when the Sixers were intentionally losing games and, you know, nobody said a word about that. I mean, just one of those, one of those fun, fun things, but, you know, that's how it works out. But, all right, Dan and I actually managed to wrangle a guest today, the only guy actually who's left that will visit us here on Sports Time Radio. We have Chris Hagstrom. Chris, you there?
I sure am, guys. How are you? You know, I love coming on this show. I don't know if you know, I always keep it on my calendar. You know, we always get to start talking right about this time about South Bend Cup baseball and the Chicago Cubs. I love talking baseball, so I love coming back on the show.
Now, have they added any new titles for you, or what's your job title heading into this year now?
Well, this year we're getting a catch-all of Director of Media and Promotions, because media can pretty much be everything and anything: social media, production, marketing, promotions, all that stuff. So it's they've got all kinds of titles for me. That's kind of a catch-all this year.
Now, you know, I've gotten emails, seen them on social media. If you're following at South Bend Cubs, whether it's on Facebook, Twitter, we get the emails directly from you guys, and we got the promotional schedule. And I noticed there was, two bobbleheads coming up. I think it was Jason Hayward, Ian Happ. When do we get to see the Chris Hagstrom bobblehead?
I don't know if anybody wants to see a bobblehead of me. I can easily make one in Photoshop, but, you know, I would almost rather have a Funko figurine of me. That would actually be kind of cool, is to start seeing teams do more Funko type. I'm sure you guys have seen those before. They're the giant big heads. Oh, yeah. They don't bobble, tiny bodies. I would love to have one of those for myself.
Well, I see all the workout stuff on Twitter. You know, is that why you're working out? You're getting buff for the bobblehead or whatever they decide to make of you?
No, it's been a really busy off season. The whole workout thing really started for me in the middle of last season. It was actually a photo somebody took, and I looked at it like, you know what, that's just, I'm not a fan of that photo, and I was like, I need to do something about this. So. I started just running around the stadium. Front office staff member said, "Hey, let's all do a 5K together." So I started training for the 5K, and then I found out I'm the only one doing the 5K. Everybody else chickened out. So it was great though, and actually I've got another 5K coming up, the race to Wrigley, coming up in May. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
Hey, and this one just kind of popped in my head since you brought it up. Being the director of all media, do you ever think you'll find a way to make one for the four win field?
I'm sorry, did you repeat the question?
Do you think you would try to ever organize a 5K for the four win field in the South Bend?
Oh, a 5K for four wins. You know, we actually partner with, in the past, there's a local hospital around here that does Sunburst Race, and it's a qualifier for the Boston Marathon. It's called Sunburst Race. So we partner with that. We go around the field. We don't actually go through the field, at least not yet. In the past, we've done some 5Ks out here at the stadium. I think that'd be a great idea. I mean, I'd love to do a 5K, that goes through the concourse. Like at Wrigley, you get to go through the concourse. Not on the field, I don't think, but I'd love to organize something like that.
Yeah, just so you know, I won't be running in that if you ever do. We'll get that out of the way right now. I noticed I was kind of looking at the schedule just to see what's going on. I saw that, the Cubs do open on the road, but you get your first game here is at April 7th. You got Western Michigan. Is that what I got the right schedule in front of me here?
You sure do. And actually, it's almost a mirror from how we started the season last year. Last year, we went up to West Michigan, played a Thursday and a Friday, and it's like a home-and-home series almost. We played two games there, then they come down and play two games with us. The only difference is this year, instead of us going back on the road and traveling 7 hours to Bowling Green, we actually stay at home for the first that first week. So we've got a homestand starting on April 7th, goes through April 12th, where we're actually playing Bowling Green here, the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. So a quick six-game homestand to start things off here in the month of April.
Now, I've been catching on YouTube the Cubby Corner, which I, you know, been enjoying with Brendan King and Darren Pritchard, but today's episode, you were kind of showcased, or, you know, you were the co-host for it. You know, whose idea was that to come up with, and, you know, do you think you guys can continue to do that through the entire season?
You know, we're looking at potentially doing something like that for the entire year. It was something that I came up with in November when we were talking about hiring a new in media relations intern. You know, something that has been when I was an intern and I wanted to break into the business, I wanted a media relations internship that focused on broadcasting. We kind of got away from that the last couple of years with our partnership with the Illinois Media School. That came to a conclusion this past year. And so now we've kind of brought back and focused our efforts. This will actually be the first internship that we have a number two broadcaster. It's something that Darren and I both felt strongly about, is bringing on someone that's, you know, kind of working their way up through broadcasting. And Brendan is a great guy. Worked out of the Northwest League in 2017, and then also the Cape Cod League as well. So he's a great mind. He really loves baseball. He's a Cubs fan. He's very passionate about this too. So we're very happy to have him on board, joining Darren. As far as continuing the Cubby Corner, I'd love to continue into the season should time allow. As you guys know, it just all sometimes comes down to availability, how much time we have. There'll be plenty of content, that's for sure. But, you know, getting time to tape it. But I would love to continue the Cubby Corner through the actual season. I think it gives you a good insight. And if we do continue into the season, we can do some, you know, player spotlights and some behind the scenes looks. We have a lot more versatility than, you know, right now, just in the off season, we're chatting about Cubs baseball, maybe recycling some interviews with, like we did Ryan Sandberg today, which, by the way, great guy. Honestly, he was the most genuine. They're all great people, but Ryan Sandberg was so genuine, is laughing and called me his bud now. So now I've got him on my speed dial whenever we need to give him a call.
Oh, now I'm really jealous. Jeez, I don't have anybody on my speed dial except Dan. Yeah.
But the speed dial doesn't exist, guys. I don't even know.
You know, I'm looking here, Chris, and I really think you're just kind of a glutton for punishment, and you just don't want to admit it to us. Is there a promotion for every game? And I know now some of them are simple. They're just food or drink promotions, but some of them are a little more intricate. Do the South Bend Cubs do something for the fans every home game?
Absolutely, we do. That's the reason why our fans love, and you know, coming back out to Foreman's Field all the time. I mean, we're a modest-sized city in the South Bend, Mishawaka area. We kind of call it the Michiana region, pulling people from Michigan. You know, part of the reason why people come out here, it's as much as I hate to break it to myself and to everybody else, it's not about the baseball. Yes, it's great to be a Cubs affiliate. There are those that come out because they want to see what the players are doing and some of the new pitchers that are going to come through the ranks. But it's about the fun and the entertainment. Obviously, there are teams out there that you'll go above and beyond with, you know, amusement parks and everything else inside their stadium. But for us, we like to keep it, you know, a little simpler than that. We do family friendly. We change it up. We'll do things like Harry Potter night and, of course, Star Wars night. We'll cater to the adults with craft beer night this year. We've got Stu's birthday party for the young kids and Princess and Pirates. So those are the big theme nights that have, you know, it's not just something with the video board. We have, you know, something that's immersive. And that's, we actually had a customer service training today I apologize, guys, for running late, but we had a service training with our employees, and we talked about an immersive experience, all five senses. And that's what we do with Foreman's Field. So those are very immersive promotional days. And then, of course, we have our food discounts, our ticket discounts, our fireworks. On Saturdays, every inning, we're giving away a flat-screen TV, even if we go into extra innings. So there's something every single day, and I think you guys are right. especially being in baseball or in professional sports for almost 10 years, I think I am a glutton for punishment.
Now, you know, when you came to the interviews from the Cubs convention, I seen, you know, the clips you guys thrown in with the Cubbies Corner, but I've also seen all the interviews when you guys originally posted it. And, you know, when you were, when Brendan asked you how you felt or, you know, if you were nervous or anything, you kind of alluded to it a little bit, but to be honest, everyone you interviewed seemed a little bit more nervous for you. Did you kind of get that feeling? Because I know you mentioned that everything was on the fly.
You know, I think they just weren't prepared for the questions that I was going to ask. When we do these, when players do those media interviews, everybody asks about the season. What were you doing in the offseason to prepare? What are your goals for 2018? Talk about this player. What are your mechanics? They're prepared for those questions. They weren't prepared for Star Wars questions. They weren't prepared for Chris Bryant didn't even know what a porg was, and he had no idea what to say. And so that was kind of fun for me to do very more man on the street, Jay Leno style, throw a curveball and see what happens. No pun intended there. But those guys are just so great to talk to and interview. They had a lot of fun. Kyle Schwarber obviously looks like a completely different man after, you know, seeing him in person and how much weight he's lost. He's done a great job with that. But yeah, it was I felt more intimidated than anything else getting a chance to talk to these guys, but you know, they were all great to work with.
So now are you and Schwarber, you got the same trainer, you guys are on the same workout plan, or what's the deal there? Because I'm telling you, Chris, I'm following you on that Twitter. You know, you're getting there, man. You're looking buff. You know, I wish I looked like that. I'm just a big tub of goo, but, you know, I see it every day. I'm keeping up with you, so you got to stay with it.
I appreciate that, and that's the kind of motivation I think that helps, too, for me. But, no, Kyle Schwarber and I, there's actually a photo circulating. A friend of mine 10 years ago said, man, you really look like Carlos Zambrano. And so I put a side-by-side photo when you compare us. Big Z and I looked pretty similar back in the day. But I'll gladly take looking like Kyle Schwarber any day of the week. But it really is great to see him losing, you know, losing weight, putting on more muscle, you know, getting in shape for the season. He really is determined. There's a story that our owner tells, and unfortunately I can't tell due to some of the language used, but bottom line is that Kyle Schwarber is a driven individual, and you know, if someone's going to tell him that he can't do something, he's going to go out and he's going to prove you wrong.
Yeah, and you know, obviously you've been in the business for over 10 years, but you know, something we all had in common was the pro wrestling industry. Do you think that helped prepare you kind of go in there cold?
You know, about pro wrestling, when you go around to minor league stadiums, you will see a lot of pro wrestling, whether it's music, video clips. There's something about being in the sports industry and pulling from professional wrestling or sports entertainment. WWE really has it down to where the pageantry, the spectacle, they have all that down, and that's what minor league baseball teams try to bring out. And so I think it attracts those of us that have, you know, grown up with pro wrestling, watching wrestling. It attracts us because we know that, yes, there's baseball to it, but there's a show involved as well. So there's I definitely think that watching wrestling has prepared me for at least for this aspect of my life. And I do try to mimic some of what we do from a show standpoint around WWE being a really tight show, making it a spectacle, lights, fireworks, that kind of stuff. And actually, I'll be honest with you guys, I haven't watched professional wrestling in almost a year and a half, which I need to try to get back into. But, you know, there's just such a tie-in with how WWE runs their shows and how a minor league baseball team does. It doesn't surprise me that there are a lot of people who utilize the Yes chant from Daniel Bryan or D-Generation X theme music or wrestling walkout music for some players. It really all ties together.
Now, I do have a suggestion for next year when you're at the Cubs convention. You're throwing, you know, you got a lot of the younger guys, but, you know, you think you can get them to cut a promo?
I would love to see Kyle Schwarber cut a promo on the entire National League. I mean, just run them down, and, you know, Schwarber bombs are going to be raining upon your hometown. I'm coming for you. I would love to see that.
Now, you know, Chris, I am, you know, lucky enough to have a summer birthday, you know, and as a kid, you know, my father would always take me to a game. That was kind of our thing. You know, we did one Cub game and one Sox game because I had a father who was a Cub fan and a mother who was a White Sox fan. So that was interesting. Now, Dan sadly has a birthday coming up this Friday. I see you have these birthday packages and stuff. Even though Dan doesn't have a, you know, a game birthday kind of set up, is there a way we could put something together for the guys like Dan or people who don't have the birthdays during the season where, you know, they can take advantage of what you guys do for your fans?
Well, as much as I would love to have Dan run out onto the field with our players, obviously they're not here, so that wouldn't work out so well. Although, Dan, I would love to have you run on our field if you're ever up for it.
oh, definitely.
As far as our birthday party packages for those that are out of season, we've talked about doing that. We actually have a stadium club and a First Source Bank Performance Center that would work perfectly for those kinds of birthday parties. You'll get in there hitting the cages, get a chance to talk to Mark Haley, who is, you know, is a veteran of minor leagues. He can tell you all kinds of stories about some of the hitters of today. It'd be kind of cool to put some birthday party packages together like that, but I guess I'm going to have to send a birthday ball to Dan now. So in an email off when we get offline, send me the address and I'll make sure I send a South Bend Cubs birthday baseball his way.
Oh, that would be awesome. But now, you know, coming back, obviously, I don't think you guys got your rosters yet, but I know you have the coaches. Is everyone coming back from last year?
Yeah, we do have our coaching staff out there. Of course, the rosters are still being finalized right now. The players are down in spring training. I'm talking to Jimmy Gonzalez later this week in an interview. We're going to use some of that audio. We're going to post online as well as utilize it for some stories that we're working on. But Jimmy Gonzalez is back for his fifth season as manager of the Cubs organization, fourth with us here in South Bend. Brian Lawrence, our pitching coach from last year, is coming back. He was here in 2015, and last season he was here. In 2016, he was with the Eugene Emeralds. And also, it's kind of a homecoming for Ricardo Medina. He was our assistant coach in 2016, when spent last year with Tennessee Smokies, and now he's back with us. And now we have a new gentleman joining us, and I have yet to actually meet him, so the pronunciation of his name might be bad on my part, but McNulty, Paul McAntle. Wow, I am really bad at this, guys. I apologize. You'd think I would have had a couple of bourbons by now. Paul McAntle is our assistant coach who was in the Angel system the previous year. So a new coach joining us and a new assistant, our new trainer, James Edwards. He comes up from Eugene. Ryan Nordbeet is back as our strength and conditioning coach. And props to Jeremy Farrell, I've seen him a little bit on TV since he's joined the Chicago Cubs organization. He was our hitting coach last year. He's now an instructor for the minor leagues for the Cubs. So happy to have that he's kind of joining them in that role. He's a great guy, a great mind, really good with the young players, patience with them. So I'm happy to see him succeed and be a part of a bigger thing for him with the Chicago Cubs.
Now, you know, I always kind of wonder, Chris, you know, since your job entails literally everything, do you find now that the Cubs are really, you know, you guys are really kind of establishing yourselves there in South Bend, is it easier for you to deal with, like, sponsorships? Do you get involved with that? I mean, I know you have the big ones with the drink companies and the beer companies, but do you work locally with the South Bend businesses to get them on board with the Cubs?
You know, that's the one area I actually don't do a lot with are the sales, but I work closely with our sales department as far as helping build proposals for them. And, yes, we definitely work with a lot of our local areas. You know, there's a couple local banks that we have that have become major sponsors here. You know, we're all about community involvement, helping promote our community, because when the Cubs came in 2015, became a Cubs affiliate for the South Bend organization, it had seen a lot of success thanks to Andrew Berlin, Joe Hart, Nick Brown, and working with our community members. It was tough to bring a family to Four Winds Field, and in turn, it was tough for a sponsor to get their message out there. But now being a Cubs affiliate, turning the culture around in the community, going out and supporting our community partners as well as those to come and support us. I mean, it really isn't very difficult for us to reach out to those, because those community members want to be a part of what we're doing here in South Bend. And in turn, we want to be able to help promote them. So we'll work with the local businesses in downtown South Bend, in Mishawaka, in Goshen, Elkhart, Benton Harbor, Michigan. So we're kind of, all those different places are coming to us, asking us to help promote their brand. And we're finding a way to do so with the great community partnerships.
Now, has much changed, the amenities previously when we were there, you had the splash park and I doubt the Cubs Den, store changed, but any of that stuff that was exciting in the outfield, and then with also the apartment buildings, has the landscape around in and around the stadium changed?
I tell you, the apartments, I'm looking at them right now out of my office window, and it really is changing the landscape, or at least the look into downtown South Bend. We have not skyscrapers by any means, but we've got some taller buildings in the area. But these apartments give you a beautiful backdrop, especially once the brick gets put on them. Right now, we have one of our buildings that's fully framed. All the woodwork is on it. Their new rooftop is going in. So you'll actually be able to enjoy a game from our own rooftops here at Four Winds Field, probably starting in June. The construction, with some of the weather, got delayed a little bit, but we're looking forward to having a June opening for our rooftop. We'll seat about 300 people. So looking out from the seating bowl into the outfield in downtown will certainly have a dramatic change. Also, one thing you'll notice is the fun zone is no longer where it used to be. We ended up moving it down the left field side because, those giant inflatables makes it tough for somebody who's sitting on their deck of those new apartments to enjoy the game and when their vision is blocked by a three-story tall inflatable bear. So we ended up moving the fun zone closer to the team store in the left field corner. Also give a little more space to the fun zone, and we now have a new picnic area since we moved the fun zone. So a little bit of landscape change with that, but all our other amenities are still the same. We still have the cleanest ballpark in all of minor league baseball. The smells, the sights, they're all still there, and we'll be looking, once these apartments are done, then for the next big project and how are we going to continue to help improve downtown South Bend.
So, we've talked to you now, Chris, for a few years, and the more I listen to you, boy, man, it seems like it's a lot of work. How big is your actual staff that has to handle just all of these different things that you guys do there?
Well, we have a staff, a full-time staff of about 20 when we're in the off-season. We, of course, have our account executives. You have box office managing, the performance center, finance, operations, production, and marketing. So we have about 20 folks that are here year-round. And we also employ about 200 people during the baseball season for seasonal work. But it is a lot of work to kind of put all this stuff together. But we have a staff that's dedicated. Some of them have been in baseball for, like, our president and vice president. Both have well over 20 years of experience behind them, where we have others that have been in baseball for now 10 years and some that have only been doing it for about a year or two. But we all have that drive and the desire to make our community a better place. Because let's be honest, guys, at the end of the day, it's all about what you can do for your community. Yes, it's great to talk about baseball and the prospects and get the information out to the bloggers and the podcasts and everything across the world. But at the end of the day, for us, we have to serve our community. And that's what we're trying to do with building these apartments, with helping beautify downtown South Bend. I've only known South Bend as a great place to live. 7 years ago, you wouldn't necessarily say that about going to downtown. A lot of people wouldn't go to downtown after dark because it was just a rough area. But things have changed. The city has cleaned up. It's gotten better. There's such vibrancy with the South Bend area, with Mishawaka, with the whole Michiana area. And when I initially moved here, I was thinking about being here a couple of years, then trying to go get a job with the Cubs or move to Chicago, work for the Blackhawks or another professional a major league sports team. But now I can certainly see myself being here, you know, a lot longer, just with how Andrew has, you know, he takes care of the staff here, and where it's a organization that cares about its community, so much so that I bought a house in 2016, and I certainly see myself here for the foreseeable future.
Now, I know we've kept you pretty long, and but before you get out of here, what promotions are you looking forward to this season?
I definitely think Harry Potter Night is going to be the big one I'm looking forward to. I enjoy the movies, and I know it's something we haven't done here yet that I think fans will certainly will be excited about. Everybody loves fireworks and flat screens. From a personal standpoint, I think Pride Night I'm looking forward to. Just showing that baseball is all-inclusive. You know, it doesn't matter who you are. So I'm looking forward to that one. Superhero Night is always a favorite of mine as well. I typically dress up as Captain America, and now I no longer have to have the shield hide my my gut. I think I can actually wear the Captain America spandex now without too much fear.
I may need to buy or borrow that shield then, just in case, you know. Oh, so. Now, what I'm interested in, Chris, you know, you mentioned what you think of South Bend. You know, the first thing that, even though, you know, you're fantastic with the show, I've been a lifelong Notre Dame fan. You know, my grandfather kind of forced that upon me as a small child, and it just kind of took. Are we going to see, I don't know, Brian Kelly or Mike Bray show up at the ballpark to throw out a first pitch or do something with the South Bend Cubs?
I would not rule it out at all. You know, I actually, in the little free time that I do have, I'm a producer over at Notre Dame for some of their video board shows. So I've got a chance to work with both Mike Bray and Coach Kelly and Muff McGraw. You know, Muff McGraw actually just becoming the USA Today Coach of the Year in women's basketball. Congratulations to her. But I would certainly see them one, two, or if not all three of them, coming out and throwing out a first pitch. Coach Bray has been here before. Has thrown out a first pitch. So has Coach Kelly. I'd love to get Muffet to come out here and throw out a first pitch and you know, support women's athletics. But I would certainly see those guys out here this summer.
All right. Well, Chris, we will let you get back to work. I'm sure you want to wrap up your day and get yourself, you know, home, but you know, as always, it's fantastic to have you on. And, you know, you're going to have to make sure you stop back during the season when you have some free time.
Of course. I love being on the show, guys. And hopefully I'll, with my scheduling, you know, won't be as we'll still be busy this summer. But I'd love to join you guys in the middle of the season. Or maybe we can even, if you guys come out here for a game sometime during the year, we can record something live and post it later.
So, all right. Sounds good, Chris. Thanks for And we'll, you know, we'll talk to you real soon.
Awesome. Thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
All right, take care. You know, Chris Hagstrom, you know, South Bend Cubs, you can get all a lot of information you're looking for, you know, southbendcubs.com. You can follow them on Twitter. You know, lots of ways to find your information there. But Dan and I have actually been to the ballpark. It's, you know, it's a fantastic place to go. It really is a good time. And, you know, just incredibly family friendly is what I'm attempting to spit out there. So you should check it out if you get the opportunity. So, but yeah, big thanks
you know,
to Chris for jumping on. You know, we didn't keep him a long time.
Well, you know, it always seems like it after feel like we because we can just probably keep him on the full hour. And, I don't know, time will fly by, but you know, he mentioned it was only 2015 when they came into the organization, and I feel like it's been a lot longer than that.
Yeah, it does seem like it, doesn't it? That it's just like, wow. So, but yeah, I mean, they've done just a fantastic job of, you know, really changing the culture down there and, you know, making it almost a destination. I mean, it's a place you want to go. So, I guess, you know, well, you know, that's how it works, right? That's his job. He basically did his job, and he did it incredibly well. So hopefully, you know, that continues for them. So.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully in 10 years we're on the air somewhere in Chicago, and we're calling him up when he's working for the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah. You know, like I said yesterday, it won't be the loop unless you and I change over to Christian whatever sport. Do they have Christian sports talk?
The loop changed? I didn't.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We talked about that the other day. That was the big story. They sold the loop to a Christian station. So starting next Monday, it becomes whatever they're going to do with it.
Is that Mancow station? What is he going to do? Is he back in?
Yeah, they're all out of jobs, basically. So, but all right, you know, Dan, I was looking at some things, you know, and some of the stuff, you know, you and I, have been talking about, you know, Ricky Nolasco finally picked up a contract. He got a $1.5 million deal with the Royals. It is a minor league deal with, you know, the invite to spring training. Even though we weren't on the air yesterday, you and I still talked a little bit. And John Jay also got a deal from the Kansas City Royals. So, again, you know, some more of these guys, you know, slowly but surely, you know, finding their homes, getting off the market. I know, like, officially, Ichiro is now a Mariner, and Tim Lincecum is also officially a Texas Ranger. What I found interesting about the Lincecum signing, Dan, is they said they're going to take a look at him as their possible closer. Well, you think that's something you could plug Lincecum in as?
I mean, they don't really have one right now. So, I mean, I think that's the beauty of the spring training is the options are open. And I mean, if they plan on using him out of the bullpen to begin with, you know, depending on the situation, you know, he could be in situations brought into games where he is the closer.
So, yeah, you know, I think I would be interested to see him try. I don't know. You know, I don't know if it would be something that would be a huge success. I don't know if his style kind of molds to that. You know, he would probably have to make the adjustment to going out and just going one inning. I really think he'd be more valuable as a team as kind of in the role, you know, that Archie Bradley provided for the Diamondbacks, where you come out of the bullpen and you go multiple innings. You know, some days it's just maybe you get four outs, then the next day you get six, and in some cases you're called upon to get seven or eight outs. You know, I think he could be hugely valuable there as the guy getting the ball to the closer. But then again, if you don't have anybody to close the game, you got to find somebody to do that as well. Well, you know, maybe he fits in. I mean, I'm just glad to see him getting a chance. And, you know, we've always kind of rooted for him, so I hope it works out.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. They haven't really looked a whole lot at the Rangers to begin with. So, you know, with their whole pitching situation, you know, it seems like from the front to the back, they're still trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you know, they brought in a lot of guys and they're throwing everything at it. So, you know, it's kind of like throw it on the wall, see what sticks. So, you know, hopefully something works out. But who knows with this? I mean, we've seen a lot of experiments, but you know, like I know, you know, they brought in Bartolo and they signed, who else? I actually gotta look now to try to remember all the different pitchers they brought in. They threw quite a bit at it. Let's see what's on their big roster here according to MLB.com, and oh, it didn't take me to the roster page. Jerks. I hate when the links do that, Dan. Why do they put the link up there and not take me to the page I want? It's like they do it in. All right. Well, you know, I know we talked about, you know, they signed Jesse Chavez. They picked up Doug Fister in the offseason. Just a lot of veteran names. You know, Mike Minor, they made the deal for Matt Moore. So, yeah, it's going to be, you know, not to mention they still have Cole Hamels on their roster. You know, and I know they were saying they were going to try to work Matt Bush in as a starter. He had some success in the bullpen. You know, and I guess, you know, again, we'll see. It'll be that thing where we look at it and go, well, if this works, maybe they compete. And I know they were one of the teams saying they were going to go to a six-man rotation. Cole Hamels actually came out against it. I thought that was kind of interesting. He really disliked the idea. But I'm kind of under the impression that if you're going to a six-man rotation, it means you don't think you have five starters. So, here's what they have now. Yeah. Well, they actually have the Rangers set up on the MLB.com depth chart as a six-man rotation. They have them with Cole Hamels at one, followed by Martin Perez, Doug Fister, Matt Moore, Mike Minor, and Matt Bush as number six. So, and right now it's set up where Alex Claudio is the closer. He finished last season as the closer, so I'm sure that's why they plugged him in there. I know Jake Diekman did some closing for him last year as well. He'll be back in the bullpen. Other than that, it's, kind of up for grabs with guys grabbing their spots. So we'll see where Lincecum fits in. But yeah, I guess, Dan, if they can get some pitching success, they could probably contend for a wild card, right? I mean, their offense is good enough.
Yeah, I don't see why not. I was trying to go over my head, the American League. I mean, when you look at it, it's going to be the Yankees and the Red Sox pretty much in the East. Of course, the Rays always seem to compete, but I don't really know how they're going to do with, a one-man pitching rotation. But and looking at the Central, I mean, that's just pretty much the Indians, right? Maybe the Twins. But I think, that leaves you, Indians, Twins, Red Sox, Yankees, that's two teams. And then you throw the Rangers in there and Seattle possibly, you've got four teams really battling it out for that wild card race. Not to make you think that's how I'm going to pick, do my picks this season.
No, I know you're taking the Mariners. I know we're all taking the Mariners.
All the way.
Interestingly, you were talking about the Rays. And, they made a bunch of huge changes. Now, Dan, talk about a team that's just run into some bad luck, especially when it comes to pitchers. There was a pretty good chance that we were going to see one of their top prospects, Brett Honeywell, in the rotation probably sooner rather than later this year. He went down really early in spring training. And it turned out that he's going to need Tommy John surgery. So, they won't see him obviously till next spring. And, with the recovery from this lately, who knows? Then it's reported today that I saw that Jose De Leon, who was the top pitching prospect they got from the Dodgers in the Logan Forsythe trade, he tore his ulnar collateral ligament, and now he needs Tommy John surgery. So just in spring training, the Rays lost their number one and number two pitching prospect. So talk about not having any luck.
I mean, these are we may have seen this summer, maybe even in September, you think. Well, not anymore. But
yeah, well, I believe we saw a little bit of De Leon last year. I think he logged some innings with the Rays towards the end of the season. I have to double check that to make sure I'm correct. Or it may have even been with the Dodgers earlier here. Yeah, actually he in 2016, he pitched 17 innings for the Dodgers. Last year, just 2.2 2/3 for the Rays. So just a real, kind of cup of coffee there. He's another one of the big-time prospects. And, it's like, here you go, Tampa, just eat this. We're going to allow you to have Chris Archer, and that's it. I guess that's just how it goes for them. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the Rays fans are going to have left to root for.
The outfield.
So, who's left in the outfield? Kevin Kiermaier? So, oh, your guy's an Arts fan. They can root for your guy's an Arts fan. So, you know, that'll work out for them. You know, I know they do have, you know, they of course, they dealt your guy Jake Odorizzi, but I know they have Jake, is it pronounced Faria, maybe, is how you pronounce it? He'll slide up in the rotation, and, you know, it'll just be one of those, you know, one of those things to see how it, you know, how it kind of shakes out. I know I read somewhere yesterday that they're really kind of banking on a big season from Nate Eovaldi, but I believe he's coming back from two Tommy John surgeries. But they're really hoping he can find a spot in their rotation. And I don't know. But interestingly here, Dan, I found this article, and I'm dying to get your take on this one. Here's the headline. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, but I want your take on just the headline. It says, the depleted Tampa Bay Rays will apparently use a four-man rotation for some reason. Oh, did I kill Dan? Yes, I did. I killed Dan. Let me bring Dan back in. So, all right. Did you hear my question for you there, Dan? Can you fill in the blanks there?
I heard Nate Eovaldi, and then.
Oh, okay. Well, here the article I found here, Dan, that I'm interested in your take. I'll throw the title at you one more time since you fell off and I didn't realize it. It says the depleted Tampa Bay Rays will apparently use a four-man rotation for some reason.
Those guys have some real big insight, huh?
You know, and I know early in the season, obviously, teams can do this if your schedule permits it, because there are a lot of off days early in the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, it could be, I don't know if it would work all year, but it is kind of interesting that, you know, maybe they're, while everybody else is looking to go six deep and seven deep, and someday, you know, you and I had already figured it out, it's going to be one starter per day. You know, it's kind of interesting that the Rays are actually looking at this a different way and seeing if possibly, you know, they can get an answer the old way.
Definitely think that option should be there. And, you know, the best thing for that is, and, you know, it's confusing. Are they going to trade Archer? Are they going to keep Archer? I mean, you're really not building anything. And by the time they would be in position to kind of turn things around, I think Chris Archer would be out of arbitration, and I forget where he is in his contract, but, you know, I don't think he'd be with the team. So you got to wonder if this strategy gets Archer more starts in, you know, obviously April and May, and maybe we'll see him pushed, or not pushed, but moved to, you know, another city by June, July, you know, possibly even before the All-Star break.
Yeah, you know, and I know baseball is a, you know, follow the leader type of thing. How interesting would it be if the Rays actually had some success with this while everybody else wants more starters, they're going with less?
Yeah. I think it would be a nice change. I mean, but it's so weird because you've got certain teams that are trying to throw it all together with six. Then you've got the Cubs who are kind of this year looking to stick with that five man. And I mean, let's be honest, they have a pretty solid five man rotation now. And, you know, I think the difference with going with four is you can carry that extra man in the bullpen, and you might see the old relief guy come back into this where they're coming in, you know, the seventh inning and giving you three straight innings. Because I'm not sure if they have a designated closer.
Yeah, they actually have. They have Alex Colome as still in their bullpen. So I'm under the impression he will keep the closer's role. But, you know, with Tampa Bay, you never know. So You know, and the article did go on to say that, you know, their manager, Kevin Cash, was quoted as saying, you know, when they need a bullpen start, they'll use a guy out of the bullpen as a starter and try to get, you know, as many innings as they can out of him. So, you know, we will see that that old swingman style guy, you know, who used to do both. You know, he would come out one day and pitch four or five innings as a starter, and then 2 days later he was back to get an out or two in a, you know, in a big situation. So we'll, you know, it definitely, yeah, you know, definitely going to be something of interest to see how it, you know, how it shakes out or how it kind of works out for them. But yeah, I'm, you know, nice to see a team not, you know, skimping and scraping, trying to just dig up guys to make a six-man rotation and, you know, just kind of go like, hey, we've got four good guys. Let's go with these, or at least four guys we think are good. So, you know, let's go with this and see how it works out.
Yeah, well, you know, I think with Texas' situation is you don't, you know, like you said, you don't really aren't that confident so in your rotation to begin with, besides maybe Cole Hamels. So it's one of those where you're trying to figure out who can carry you into the second half of the season, into, you know, bringing it down to more a more solid five man, which, you know, seems to be kind of the MO that everyone's following Joe Maddon with, where he kind of extended things only to get to the postseason to bring things back to, you know, traditional style.
Just one of those, you know, things where he was, you know, terrified of every pitcher he had on the team. So, you know, oh God, you know, we can't leave this guy out there for more than this or that, but
yeah,
you know, they still won. That's the important thing.
Yeah. But I think, you know, one of the, when you look at baseball, especially today, the game has definitely changed. And, you know, if you obviously have to take the regular season seriously, and you've got to win the games to get into the postseason. But I think, you know, the regular season is due for trying out different things and trying to see what really works for your team to, you know, once you get in that postseason.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I just kind of think by the time you get the postseason, you know who's who and how to handle them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, most teams shorten the rotation. You're going to go from five to four. You know, in the old days, they just went with three guys. You know, I say old days, that actually wasn't too long ago. You know, you ran your best three guys out there, and, you know, they handled the situation on the mound. Now they can't do that because guys either aren't A, mentally tough enough, or B, physically not ready to make those kind of pitches. And that'll be the interesting thing with the Rays. You know, these guys coming back on, you know, what is considered short rest now, they're going to have to kind of watch them. And, you know, with pitch counts and innings limits and all the crap they got going on with guys, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how they juggle them, or if they give them time to, you know, blossom into these roles. Because, you know, I mean, pitchers pitch. That's what they do. It sounds simple, but it seems like they kind of forget about that in baseball now. I mean, you know, they're trained to pitch, you know, and that's what you've got to give them. You've got to give them the opportunity to go out there and be successful. You know, you can't go running out there every time a guy gets in trouble and yank him, because, you know, they don't build any confidence there. I mean, I learned that managing Little League. It's like, let's see if the kid can get himself out of trouble. You know, if not, you know, maybe we do something different next time. But, you know, it's kind of strange how they handle players, and, you know, the way they do these things now. So who knows?
Yeah, but I mean, you know, obviously on paper things are different than what happens in regular season. But, you know, with the Cubs, if they do go to the playoffs, and just the way you kind of expect things to go down, I mean, with the four men, Lester, Darvish, Hendricks, and Quintana, I mean, aren't you looking at a pretty damn good, solid starting rotation?
Yeah. You know, I mean, they definitely have four, you know, what you would look at as top of the rotation guy. you know, when it comes kind of flat out to it, it's like, you know, each and every one of these guys could be a number one on a lot of teams. So, you know, it's just kind of how it goes. And the Cubs are lucky enough to have them all, you know, put together in one rotation. So we'll see how it works out for them. But yeah, it should really be a fantastic year for them, you know, as long as everybody holds up and nobody gets hurt. And, you know, Joe Maddon doesn't overmanage them to the point where they're, you know, out there for just five innings for no reason. You know, and John Lester doesn't bounce too many balls to first base, but that's a different story, right?
Oh, we forgot to ask Chris about that one.
Should we call him back, see if he's still in his office? Oh.
Well, you know, they're an hour ahead of us, so, you know, he's already looking at 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you needed to get home.
Hopefully you got to get home. Yeah, you know. So, you know, that would be a good thing for him. But we'll have to, you never know. You know, those guys get busy and all hell breaks loose, so. But I did want to ask you. I don't know if you've caught this clip yet. Have you seen? And I mean, this is totally off topic because we've pretty much been all baseball. But did you see the guy lift? I believe it was I thought they said it was a ton. What it turned out was it was 1,041 pounds. Have you seen the video of this? I want to say oddity, where like the blood vessels in his nose kind of exploded, and you know he got the lift on, but he was bleeding out for the place. Yeah.
I could definitely see that happen. I mean, you're pushing, using every single muscle in your body. Now, was this a deadlift or a bench press?
Yeah, it was just a deadlift. You know, where you you grab the bar and you just got to stand up with it.
Yeah.
You just got to lift it up. You know, basically to your waist, I believe, is how it went. I guess what my question would be is, could you even get that much weight off the ground? I don't even think I could roll it to me, let alone budget.
You know, well, almost 10 years ago, I would have told you, hell yeah, I could do it, Jack. Just give me a couple months in the gym. Now... No, smart me says, no, we're not even attempting that. We enjoy being able to stand upright like a human's supposed to be. And, you know, and not to get too graphic or anything, and I won't really go that far, but other things have been known to blow out when you're doing a deadlift that big. Just, you know, catch my drift on that one. And it's not pretty.
Yes,
and I wouldn't want to do that guy.
I'm sure we've seen it, guys have passed out, and they're, you know, sadly there's a lot of things that can go wrong when you're doing it, especially with that amount of weight. But yeah, oddly, when you look at the clip, he actually does it kind of for that weight almost effortlessly. And you got to wonder if he maybe could do more. And I never want to run into that guy anyway. All right, well, it seems it's time for Dan and I to get out of here, but we got to give a big thanks to Chris Hagstrom from the South Bend Cubs for joining us. Like I said, he's not the only guest who actually is willing to come back on, but that's why we did this, the other guy. Anyways, Dan and I will be back tomorrow at 5:30 if you'd like to meet us here. You know what to do while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out the new blog that went up this morning. Follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like, please. But don't forget the Twitter feed. You know that, at SportsTimeRadio. You can hunt Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like. As always, though, big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want to go listen to it at tunein.com.